Thank you. Thank you. So a few key verses here for this very important lesson on blending. One is Leviticus chapter 2, verse 4, and I read, "And when you present an offering of a meal offering baked in the oven, it shall be of fine flour, unleavened cakes mingled," of course the operative word is right here, "mingled with oil or unleavened wafers anointed with oil." Let me see here. Yeah, of course here you have the picture or the type of fine flour with oil in the meal offering, which signifies the Lord's humanity mingled with the Holy Spirit. You got the fine flour and the oil mingle together, and thus making Christ a real God-man possessing both the divine and the human nature. The important thing is there is not a third nature being produced. So you have this word mingling, which really is the Old Testament picture that gave even Paul the idea, or for sure it gives us a picture of this matter or this thought of blending. Then, of course, you have 1 Corinthians 10:17, where Paul said, "Seeing that there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." And clearly the point here is how a bread or a loaf is produced. A loaf is produced out of initially some grains crushed, grounded, and then blended together, and then you use that as flour to make a single loaf. So the bread, therefore, is a product of mingling, of blending, okay, of many grains that went through a certain process. Then lastly, the important verse is 1 Corinthians 12:24, where the actual word of blending is used here. "But God has blended the body together, giving more abundant honor to the member that lacked." So here you have actually God as the master blender. He is the one actually who created the body, and in a very practical way. Now, when we talk about blending, brothers, we're talking about a practice. A practice. This practice makes, listen to me, this body makes the body of Christ actual. It actualizes the body of Christ in our experience. It brings forth a reality. Not just a fact, but a reality of the body of Christ. Now, by blending, we have the body of Christ in experience, not just in thought, right? Not just in even concept. Okay, the matter of the blending, the practice of blending, actually is not new, you may say, but the emphasis of this word blending the overriding use, I would even say, of this word blending is something new. Now, in my memory, that began actually in the 90s, the 1990s, about the time of maybe 1993 or 4 or so, right at the time when Brother Lee began to release the High Peak of the Divine Revelation. this practice of the blending was promoted by him very, very strongly. I cannot forget it because it was very impactful. And today you will find the books, and you will find these books actually in the as reference material. You know, these excerpts. You'll find that. I strongly suggest you will not stay with just the excerpts and leave it like that. In all these lessons, please just go to the chapter. Maybe even go to the book, because you get a lot more than just some simple excerpts. But this is from a book called The Practice of Blending, a thin book. Not easy to read, by the way. You read it once, you probably won't get it or understand it. You have to read it several times. Then you have the last chapter of the book called The Divine and Mystical Realm, a yellow book. And the last chapter is something on the ground of the church or some such subject. But brotherly, towards the end, in just three pages, at the maximum four, he gave this, again I use the word classic, definition of blending. When I say definition, I mean an experiential definition, not just definition by revelation, but from the experiential standpoint, that kind of a definition, and even with some pointers, some very practical points to help us how to practice blending in the church life, in the Lord's recovery. So please go and study that. I study it a lot. Please, I'm not boasting. I study these things. I don't. And every time you study, you understand and you see more. Okay, let's come to this practice of blending. Notice in this module, six lessons on the body of Christ, that this is the last one. That means this is somewhat the way for us to practice the body life, to have the reality of the body of Christ in our midst. Roman 1, the thought of blending is very strong in the Bible. A, in the Old Testament, there's a type of the blending for the fulfillment of God's economy. The meal offering in Leviticus 2:4 consisted of cakes made of fine flour mingled with oil. Every part of the flour was mixed or mingled with oil. That is blending. So just picture this in your head. You have this flour, you have water, you have the dough. Then you put oil into it, and you knead it, and you knead it, and you knead it. Before long, the oil is gone, so to speak, but it is entirely mixed, entirely mingled with the flour. That's blending. That is blending. B, this type of blending was strongly referred to by the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians 10:17, Paul said, "Seeing that there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for all we all partake of the one bread." Now, this picture is important. This bread that we break on Lord's Day after Lord's Day, we all know is a symbol of the Lord's universal body, not your local body. You know, when I was young, I thought that bread is the city of Los Angeles, you know. That's it. We are one with all the believers in Los Angeles. That bread, that becomes a local bread. We don't eat local bread. We eat universal bread. Every bread that you break in whatever city you are, that bread represents all believers in the body of Christ. That bread is a picture of the mystical, unique body of Christ in this universe. Now, the important thing of this picture is, how does that bread come about? Well, it comes from the blending, the mingling of the grounded grains that gone through a process of blending and baking, of course, and they become this one bread. So one bread is not like an apple. There's no blending with apple. I just pick it up the tree and put it here. That's no blending required. No process required. Bread, a loaf of bread, implies a process of grinding, of blending, of baking, whatever, to have this one bread. The Lord's body is not an apple, you know. The Lord's body is a loaf of bread. It comes out of a process. And that process is very much a process of blending. Okay. Paul's thought of the church being one bread was not his own invention. Rather, it is taken from the Old Testament. Paul tells us that the church is a bread, a cake, made of fine flour. This fine flour comes from the wheat grains, and the wheat grains come from the one grain of wheat, which is Christ. Now notice that that picture in Leviticus is not just the flour or with some, there's no mention of water actually. There's only a mention of oil. So oil and flour mingle together, produce a loaf, a cake. So, by the way, let me say something, and we'll see later. It is not just the grains thrown together. You must add oil. There's no blending without the Spirit. There's no real blending without the anointing Spirit. Okay? We'll see that. Okay. So, the one grain, Christ, fell into the ground on the cross, died, and many grains, that's you and I, came forth. And now there needs to be a process of these individual grains to be blended together to have the reality of one bread. This is what blending is. For John 12:24 says that Christ is the one grain of wheat who fell into the earth and died, and grew up in resurrection to produce many grains, which we are his believers. And here, let me add something else. The fact that these are crushed grains, grounded grains, picked grains, means they're what? And the fact that these grains came out of the ground by the death of one grain shows that this blending is predicated on resurrection. We don't blend in the natural realm. That's social. We blend in the realm of resurrection, where there's no natural life. There is just the resurrection life. Only those who are resurrection can truly be blended together. We are the many grains so that may be ground into fine flour for making the cake, the bread of the church. Here we have the thought of blending in the Bible. See, later in 1 Corinthians in 12:24, Paul wrote, "But God had blended the body together, giving more abundant honor to the members that lack." This verse says clearly that God has blended all the believers together. One. The word blended means, these are important words, adjusted, harmonized, tempered, and mingled. Now, these are very important concepts. What's blending? That means there's some adjustment that has to take place between two grains, so between the grains. There has, between the members, between us, there has to be a constant adjustment. There's also a kind of harmonizing. That means these are individual with their own thought, with their own quirkiness, with their own peculiarities, with their own characteristics, their own traits. They need to be harmonized together. It's like what? It's like the orchestra, right? Every instrument has to be what? Attuned, so that it's E, right, all the way, or B, or A, whatever it is. So the first chair violinist will go, you know, right? And everybody will go, So if you are on A, you B, you're E flat, I'm E, this is going to be a disastrous performance. Even I may be a master virtuoso, so are you. You're on the harp, I'm on the French horn. But this is going to be a disastrous thing because this is not a solo performance. This is an orchestra. The body is a philharmonic orchestra. Okay, tempered. Temper means you're 120 degrees and I am 40 degrees. Temper means we all exist at 80 degrees, right? You see the point? Not too hot, not too cold. We're just there. We are all beings of extremes. We all love to be extreme. But that's not good for the building, for the body. So there needs to be a tempering, a moderating of extremes in the body life. Okay? And then mingled, of course. We need to be just mingled together, losing our identity, losing our distinctions. God has blended the body, adjusted the body, harmonized the body, tempered the body, and mingled the body. The Greek word for blended implies the losing of distinctions. You know, we're talking here just now after the last meeting. We're saying under the wrong concept, man, the natural man, celebrates diversity. Difference is to be glorified. You know what I mean? The more different, the more beautiful. So to quote Mao Zedong, 1,000 flowers bloom. And then when there's the introduction of a thought that we should be the same, the natural mind interprets that as some kind of coerced unification process going on to make us all robotically the same. I tell you, you need to be brainwashed. Amen. If that's what's in your mind. You need a serious brainwash. How many bodies are there? How many body of Christ? One? Really? How many church is there? Well, how about the local churches? What do you say? You say, yes, there are local churches, but there is one church in this universe. Yeah. Am I right? Yeah. I tell you, everything about God is one. Chinese, 一元啊. The principle of God, this is the numeric, right, the first principle of God is one. Jehovah your God is one. There's no two gods. Once you have two gods, nothing, everything else is chaos. Okay, so the primary principle of the Godhead is that the Godhead is one. Even there are three. But it is one God. So everything that emanates from God, his economy, his work, his doing, is all one. There's only one Christ, one Bible, one Spirit, one church, one kingdom, one New Jerusalem. Everything that comes from God is one. This is a strict principle. And so here, to be one, to have one body, to lose our distinctions is what? Is glorious. We should celebrate sameness. I know some of your mind have a problem. because this is United States. I mean, this is the land of the rugged individual, especially west of the Mississippi. We celebrate diversity. Everyone should look just a little bit different. That's beautiful. And Brother Lee once said, the seven golden lampstands in Revelation 2 and 3. He said, if you line up the lampstands there, you turn around and they move it around, you turn back, you couldn't tell which one is which because they're all identical. But then people say, no, look, Ephesus is different from Smyrna, Smyrna from Pergamos, Pergamos from Thyatira, Thyatira from Sardis, Sardis from Philadelphia, Philadelphia from Laodicea. They're all different. Look, 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 what do you mean they're all the same? Well, you're right. They're all different in the bad stuff. In the positive stuff, they are identical. The gold, the form, which is the Father, the form of the Son, the embodiment, and what? And the lambs with the sevenfold intensified spirit. That's identical in every church. We should celebrate sameness. You don't even need to try. You'll be different. But you need to exercise mightily to be the same. By default, we all will be diverse. You don't need to do a thing. Oneness, Paul says, what? Be diligent to endeavor to keep the oneness of the Spirit. That's hard. That's hard. All right, let's go on. Two, one brother's distinction may be quickness and another may be slowness, but in the body life, the slowness disappears and the quickness is taken away. That's what blending does, you see. If there's no blending, a quick brother will forever be quick, and a slow brother will always be slow, and that's not the body. Three, in order to be harmonized, blended, adjusted, mingled, and tempered in the body life, we have to, now this is important statement, you've got to get it. To go through the cross, one, be by the Spirit, two, dispensing Christ to others, three, for the sake of the body of Christ, five. That defines the process of blending. The cross must be present. That's the death of Christ that usher in resurrection. The Spirit must be present. That is the ultimate consummation of the triune God, the person of God. Dispensing Christ, it must have the objective of dispensing Christ when we blend, if we blend. And lastly, there must be a goal. There must be an ultimate purpose of our blending, not just to shake hands and talk and so on. It is for the sake of building up the body. With this mindset, with this attitude, with these ingredients, then we can have a proper blending. Number four, the co-workers and elders must learn to be crossed out. Whatever we do should be by the Spirit to dispense Christ. You know, when we blend together, brothers, churches with churches, brothers with brothers, the cross is always present. Am I right, brothers? Those of us who have the experience, the cross is always present to cross us out. Because if we bring our natural man to the blending, it does not work. We need to be grounded. We need to be killed. We need to be turned into powder for us to really blend. You cannot blend grains together. You just can mix them together. That's called granola. But on Lord's Day, we don't partake of one granola, right? We partake of one loaf. That means grounded. That means dying. That means a process of death and resurrection with the Spirit added. Then this bread will feed others with Christ. And this bread will be the body. Okay. All of these points mean that we should fellowship. Fellowship now comes in, brothers. Fellowship is a necessary activity or reality in our practice of blending. When a co-worker does anything, he should fellowship with the other co-workers. An elder should fellowship with the other elders. Fellowship tempers us. Fellowship adjusts us. Fellowship harmonizes us. And fellowship mingles us. Brothers, we need more fellowship. In Northern California, amongst the churches, between the co-workers, amongst the elders, the more fellowship, the better. Because fellowship will accomplish the blending work. Left to ourselves in our own locality, we all become weird. Every local church is weird. Especially, they take on the taste and the personality of the leading one or the leading ones. And that's why for brothers to stay in a place too long, your personality will be imprinted into that church. It's good to have a change. But my point is, there's salvation here. Salvation is blending. So the more you isolate yourself, the more you isolate your church, the more you're seclusive, the weirder you become. You become a very peculiar church. I know some church in some state, I don't mention where no one, they have no traffic, a little traffic with the recovery. And you go there, it's like you discover this old Japanese soldier in the jungles of Indonesia who did not realize World War II ended 70 years ago. He is still fighting the war. He is dressed in the tattered clothes of a World War II Japanese infantryman. Do you follow me? Or a tribe that is cut off from civilization that got into a time, what? They're stuck in time. Is that the word? I have seen churches, when I touched them, I felt like, man, I'm back in the 60s here. Not in a positive way. This is the 60s. This is weird. Where have they been? No traffic, no fellowship. They don't even know what a smartphone is. You know what I mean? So, I mean, to illustrate. Brothers, there's a danger in not blending, in keeping yourself in an isolated state, whether personally, individually, or corporately as a local church. Brothers, I exhort all the churches to be open, to fellowship, to have traffic, to blend, go to visit other churches, invite other churches to come at the district level, at the group level, at the personal level, at the elders level, at the co-workers level, at the sisters level. The more this blending, the more we'll be rescued from extremism, from oldness, from our kind of characteristics. And ultimately from our differences and distinctions, making us one. Six, there should be the blending of all the individual members of the body of Christ, the blending of all the churches in certain districts, the blending of all the co-workers, and the blending of all the elders. I'm so happy we have this training in Northern California. There's no other place doing this in North America except here. 300 brothers or whatever coming here at least once a month for 4 hours. I hope not just to listen to me, but there's a kind of blending. Am I right? And now we're going to increase this blending at the co-workers level, at the elders level. Brothers, you say, oh, this wastes time, this is inconvenient. One day, you know, in the New Jerusalem, you will say, why didn't I inconvenience myself a little bit more, you know? Brothers, it all depends on priority. Schedule depends on priority. Don't tell me you don't have time. You know, when I was when I was courting my wife, my wife-to-be, goodness, you tell me I don't have time? I don't have time for you. I have every second I have time for her. Priority. I was in love. I was head over heels. Brothers, don't say you don't have time. It's his priority to you. All right. Let's take blending as a priority in our church culture. Let Northern California become the church, not churches, but the church in Northern California. Let all the churches, all the brothers, all the co-workers and elders blend together as much as possible. D, such a blending is not social, but the blending of the very Christ, whom the individual members, the district churches, the co-workers, and the elders enjoy, experience, and partake of. Of course, we don't blend without Christ. That is an empty blending. That is just a social mixer, you know. We're in another realm, in the divine mystical realm. E, blending is for the building up of the universal body of Christ to consummate the New Jerusalem as the final goal of God's economy according to his good pleasure. Now, these are not just big words thrown around by Brother Lee. It is true. It is true. With a view of even of the New Jerusalem. We need, we need to know the purpose of blending. There's a purpose. To know the purpose of the blending, we need to look into God's eternal economy. One, in this economy, as a plan and arrangement, God decided to produce an organic body to be his organism in life for his increase and expression. Words that we know too well. But please think about it. God has an economy that is to produce a body to be his organism for increase and expression. Two, to carry this out, God became a man so that he could make man like himself in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. The so-called hypi revelation. This is the truth. This is how God accomplishes his economy. Three, when he was incarnated, he brought God into man. When he was resurrected, he brought the God created fallen and then redeemed man into God, thus uplifting the redeemed man. Those of you who were at the International Chinese Speaking Conference, the last message that was given very marvelously was on this point. Even how the fallen man, in part of God's organic salvation, is to uplift the fallen man, to enrich his faculties, to bring it into resurrection, ultimately into God himself. Four, he as the last Adam became the life-giving spirit, that he might enter into those redeemed by Christ and regenerate them to make them the children of God. This is the very intention of God's economy. Now, all this is important to blend. You have to have this view. B, in addition to this, God desires to build all these regenerated children of God together as one in Christ. Thus, these dear ones should not be individual, separated, and scattered, but should be gathered together in their localities to be the local churches. We know this. One, The local churches are not the goal. Now, this is important. Underline this word. But the procedure God takes to reach the goal of his economy. The local churches are the procedure to bring us into the body of Christ. Don't love your city so much. I am the church in Irvine. Irvine, you know. Beautiful city. Well, I'll guarantee you one day Irvine will be no more. Your love, your city of love will disappear. Maybe a tsunami will come. And Irvine will be under the water. That's it. You love it so much, it's gone. It's not that city, brothers and sisters. It's the church. Amen. It's that testimony. It's that reality that is important. Right? Brothers, please be broadened. You know what is the broadest man? A body man. Your heart is just the body, not just your locality. We need to be faithful to serve the Lord, to take care of the saints in our respective local churches, no doubt. But please, brothers, I would just ask all of us to have a heart as large as God's. In our heart should be the body of Christ. Okay, two, we need to be in the local churches so that we can be ushered or brought into the reality of the body of Christ. Three, the purpose of blending is to usher us into the reality of the body of Christ. All right, the more blending, this kind of fellowship brings us into the reality of the body. Number three, we need to see the significance of blending. A, blending is not an organization of any nature. This is not some industry association meeting in the, what is it? Moscone Center or whatever. Moscone Center. We're just a bunch of churches in some kind of industry convention. No, no, no. That's organizational. B, blending is not a system in any way. We're not here to build up some kind of ecclesiastical system by virtue of this blending. C, blending is not a kind of unification in outward practices. I just mentioned we should be the same. But brothers, no matter how much we try to be the same, we will be different. Am I right? And we're not here to unify our outward practices. So your church uses a guitar, my church uses a piano. That's not what we're talking about blending. So we all would use piano or guitar. That's not what we're talking about. D, blending is an organic building of the God-men who are perfected in life as the representatives of a local church, as Zion within Jerusalem, and who live the reality of the body of Christ. This is a statement from the book, The Practice of Blending, and that's why I say it's hard to understand. Even today, I'm not fully sure I understand this sentence completely in its depth. But the point here is this blending is God-men coming together. God-men who are perfected in life, who really represents a local church as Zion within Jerusalem. Of course, Jerusalem refers to the local church, and this group of God-men, which are really the overcomers, would be the representatives of that local church. They live in the reality of the body of Christ to blend together. Okay, five. There's a need of the blending for the building up of the body of Christ. A, There's the need to blend all the local churches together as one, as many as possible in the process triune God, the pneumatic Christ, and the consummated Spirit. One, the Lord blended the seven churches in Asia by writing them one epistle. Do you know they're not seven epistles, Revelation 2 and 3. It's one single epistle to seven churches, but one epistle. That means every church read all the other six epistles. It's not seven separate epistles. Two, the apostle blended the churches in Colossae and Laodicea by writing the epistle to each of the two churches respectively and asking them to read the two epistles reciprocally. So, Colossae, make sure what I'm writing to you, Laodiceans will read it, as I charge the Laodiceans to do the same with the epistle. And you read what I wrote to Laodicea. The apostle endeavored to blend these churches together under the same teaching, the same ministry. B, we must realize that there's a great lack, a shortage. That is the reality of the body of Christ. It is for this reason that there's a need for blending. C, we need to endeavor to reach in the church life the highest peak of the reality of the body of Christ until we consummate in the New Jerusalem. To have the blending is to meet this need. D, to be in the reality of the body of Christ, we need to be absolutely in the resurrection life of Christ. Anything that is carried out even scripturally, but in the natural life, is not the reality of the body of Christ. So when we blend together, we should not be natural. We should not even touch each other's natural man. Now, on this matter of touching, it's not in this outline, but in that chapter in the book, The Divine Mystical Realm, you'll find a good, some good speaking from Brother Lee concerning blending where we touch each other. You know, we should touch and we should be touched inwardly. In other words, we should not go there and sit there. You know, if I'm here going to blend with these brothers, and then I look at him, he look at me, is any blending going on? Even physically, we're together, there's no blending. Blending means I open to you, brothers. I open to you, brothers. I'm open to you to be touched. I open my heart. I open my spirit. How do you feel about this? This is how I feel. This is my burden. What do you say? Then he speaks, he speaks, he speaks, he speaks. I tell you, in that speaking, there will be the touching. There will be the touching. And sometimes that touching may not be comfortable. But it is very, very healthy. Right? But of course, we don't touch each other, you know, with a wrong attitude. We're in love. We're in the spirit. We're for the same goal. But open up. Brothers, open up. I hope all of us would learn to open up to each other in fellowship. The more, the better. People who stay within themselves are usually people in poverty. You know, even today, they have exchanges in the world, right? Medical world, in what? Scientific world. It's, you know, right now, whatever I find, boop, the next minute it's on the web. And all my colleagues and scientists on the same field right away knows what I'm doing. But of course, that doesn't happen all the time because they want to keep it to win the Nobel Prize, right? They want. But I'm saying this world today is just the knowledge is being spread by exchanges, and that exchange caused what? Caused the advance of society in all of its aspects. Medicine, right? Everything. So if you just stay in your own little lab and do your own thing, they already found the cure already for that disease. You're still trying to figure it out. Why don't you just go to the web and find out? Then you don't waste your time to reinvent the wheel. Brothers, I'm being very, very practical here. That's the beauty of blending. Open up, receive, give, right? Touch and be touched in this flow of the body. There will be riches. There will be help. There will be healing. There will be supply. There would be the building up of the body. Okay, seven. Please read together. Blending is the most helpful thing in keeping the oneness of the universal body of Christ. The churches should come together frequently to be blended. The most helpful thing in keeping the oneness. How to keep the oneness? Come together frequently to blend. So I would say in Northern California, the elders should blend, the leading brothers. The saints should blend by districts, by small groups, by many ways. The co-workers should blend. The churches absolutely should blend. And in this kind of blending, I have no doubt we will see the Lord's blessing. We will touch a kind of power, a kind of energy, a kind of, I don't know what, a kind of flow that in our separate local churches we won't have. Now, I suggested to the brothers, even brotherly say, blend with your neighboring churches in clusters. Clusters. So I figured out this clusters is what? In Northern California, I figure there are five. Is that five? Okay, let me try to think. So San Francisco and up to where? To... Huh? No, all the way up, Santa Rosa, Crescent City, to the border. That's, to me, is a cluster of churches. Then the Sacramento Valley area, all the way to Nevada, another border, state border, is, you know, Reno and all this, is another cluster of churches. And then... the peninsula, you call it the peninsula? The peninsula, which is on the west side, you know, from Burlingame down to Mountain View and whatever. I look to the day that every city on the peninsula, there will be a church. And that is a kind of a cluster. Then South Bay, all the way down to the, San Luis Obispo and Salinas and whatever, go down there, is another cluster. And then East Side, I don't know how that works. You know, where is Berkeley? Berkeley is East Bay, Hayward, whatever, Pleasanton, and so forth. And these are the subclusters of this supercluster of churches in Northern California. And Brotherly did help us. We should cluster. All the churches coming together is challenging, the logistics and all of this. But in smaller clusters, to have more frequent traffic and fellowship is very, very helpful. Maybe in visits, maybe in small conferences, maybe in many, the brothers coming together, many, many ways, we will only benefit from this. Okay? Palo Alto, right in the middle of West Peninsula. So Palo Alto, cluster with the churches. Amen. Amen. You agree?
Amen.
Let's bring in a new culture.
Amen.
In Northern California, a blending culture.
Amen.
So that we can have the reality of the body of Christ.
Amen.
All right.